You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I ask you at this time to untangle my tongue, Lord, that it may be used by you in obedience to your will. For, Lord, we know that unless you send the message, it cannot be preached. And if it can't be preached, it cannot be believed. And if it cannot be believed, we cannot call on your name. And if we cannot call on your name, we cannot be saved. Lord, it all comes from you. Please bless us on this day that we may hear a word that was sent from you and that we may have understanding enlarged. It is in your precious name, Lord Jesus, that I ask for these things in this way. Amen. Sometimes the mind is faster than the tongue, and I'm asking God to put those on the same playing field at this time. So again, forgiveness for the beginning part, but my heart was pounding so hard that it was confusing me. I heard this earlier this week, and it's been a long time since I heard it. But I believe it was what I was supposed to hear. I had a dear, sweet woman so concerned over her sons that do not participate in the church and hear the word of God. And she told me that one of her sons spoke these words to her that I've heard before, and it troubles me when I hear it. You know, the Bible is only written by old men. That saddens me. It truly does. Because it points us in a direction that makes no sense. Isn't it that every word that is written and every word that is spoken or put into Braille or into sign language comes from the same source? So if you do not accept one, how can you accept any of the others? But the Word of God has this piece to it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this: all scripture is God-breathed. It has the breath of God upon it. So God has chosen these human creatures to write things down. The words that we heard this morning, if they were not obedient to the directive of God and wrote those things down, you and I would never be able to hear them. I thank God for the psalmist that he writes to us and tells us how we can count on the Lord. I thank God for the prophet who gives us incredible words of guidance. He calls us into account for our sinful nature, but he points ahead to the promises of God. I thank God for the apostle who writes down the fact that he is in a very difficult situation, but in the midst of that difficulty, God is using it to further the kingdom. And I thank God for the gospel writer, because every word that we read from the gospel today was spoken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 2 millennia ago. And because God breathes his breath into the word of God, we can hear the words that Jesus spoke. And they can take on an incredible dimension and meaning for us. Not because we can read it, because when we read scripture, there's got to be most of the time that we're like, okay, I read that. But you see, the scripture was given to us, and then the Holy Spirit proceeded from the Father and the Son. And when the Holy Spirit proceeded from the Father and the Son, they began to speak in tongues so everybody could hear them. So the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son so that we can be enlightened. It can be revealed to us so that we can understand these writers that wrote down these important words for us. Did you hear what the prophet Isaiah had to say to us this morning? Speaking as God had inspired him. Your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. So we cannot understand the words unless the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. Now, when we look at the gospel for today, the gospel is manifold, if you will. For as many times as you read the same word of God, the Holy Spirit knows that you may be in a different place and a different understanding, and he can open it and expand it in such a way that we cannot do on our own. We trust on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to help us learn more about the deeper meaning that the scripture has to offer for this day. The manifold part of the gospel for today, there are several messages that we could speak of this morning. Probably one of the most simple aspects of the gospel for today is the fact that Jesus says the kingdom of God is like. Well, I know that you feel the same way that I do, that Jesus is the only expert on the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, can help us to understand the kingdom. So it is used in a way that he tells us that at several different times during the day, that one goes out and says, there is a purpose for you in this vineyard. You can go in there and you can be a part of caring for that vineyard. And one of the simplest understandings that we can gain from today's gospels is the fact that we are called to be servants. God's representative calls us into that service at early in the morning, at 9 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, at 5 o'clock. And when the day is over, the distribution of what was promised takes place. A very good understanding of the gospel for today. But there's manifold to it. One of the things that we may leap over right away is the fact that God is using what is called an allegory. Ooh, let's throw that word aside and put a simple word that we can understand, a symbol. Jesus is using a symbol in today's gospel. What is the symbol? A vineyard. A vineyard. Listen to the word that is written by the psalmist in Psalm 80, verses 8 through 10, to see how this symbol is used. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. It is a symbol of God's people being ushered in to the promised land, that he would, the owner of all things, the Creator God, would dispose of those people who were using the land in the wrong way, and this wonderful vine, which would be Israel, would now be placed in there and permitted to grow because they had been given the worship life of the tent of the meeting, and God was in their constant presence. So we need to understand that the vineyard is talking not about a beautiful vineyard as we see as we drive sometimes, but it is using it as a symbol to represent God's people. And we have to also understand that when God brings his people to this promised land and 12 are sent in, one from each tribe of Israel, to explore the land, because the land was a promise of milk and honey, of abundant resources. And when the 12 come back, they brought a cluster of grapes. Ah, the vineyard piece again. They brought a cluster of grapes from the promised land. The cluster was so big, they put it on a pole, Scripture says. This will be in Numbers 14. They put it on a pole, one on one shoulder, one on the other, and the cluster of grapes hung in the center. The fruitfulness that the Lord had promised God's people in the vineyard was shown forth. And let us not forget the importance of the vineyard, because we know that it is from the fruit that grows in the vineyard that was put into a cup, and the cup was raised, and it was given thanks for. And Jesus says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. So the appearance of the word vineyard in today's parable has deep, deep understanding. We can't see that unless the Holy Spirit says, I have something that I would like to show you. And using that same piece, we understand that Jesus telling the story, because every word that the gospel writer wrote down was the word that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago that you and I now can hear. And we look at this parable and we see it in three distinct ways. First of all, it tells us that this vineyard has an owner. So this owner has the authority over that vineyard. He is the one that has brought it into being. It is his for his design purpose. And then the second part that we can see in that gospel message for today is that there is one who was sent out and said to the people, I have a purpose for you in the vineyard. Come at different hours, at the earliest hour at 9, 12, 3, and 5. Come and participate in this vineyard. Care for it. Cultivate it. I don't know about you, but when I look at a vineyard, when I do get a chance to see them, there was one in Williams Township. As we came down a hill, you had full view of the mountainside vineyard. And those things were so well dressed. The branches were all cut and manicured so that it would produce the most fruit. They were separated and everything was cultivated very nice. You couldn't find a weed in that whole hillside. And you could see the fruit that was being borne by those plants because of the ones who were purposed to care for them. And then at the end of the time, those who fulfilled what they were sent to do were given what they were promised. You can see from that piece that Jesus is giving us a very good look at Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In that message from that text written so long ago that some people feel are only words written by old men, there's such a rich reward. God the Father has created all things and is the owner of the vineyard. Jesus is the one who goes and calls you and I to purpose. I have something that I want you to do. And then at the end, the Holy Spirit distributes the promise. And I don't get the one piece in there because I see it's human nature. The human nature of the ones who started early in the morning were saying, how did they get paid the same? You can see the human side of it. Thinking we deserve more. And the question that comes to my mind is, how can you get more eternal life than someone else? Is eternal life not eternal? You should be joyous that those who heard the call of Christ to a purpose he has appointed for them are given this wonderful gift of grace. All of this nestled in the Word of God. But it needs to be planted. And it needs to be watered. And that is why we come and we gather together. So that the seed that is bestowed upon us at baptism is planted in the Word of God. And by the daily use of God's Word, it is watered. And we can see it sprout. We can see it grow. We can see it flower. We can see it bear fruit, and God can use it for his kingdom. Powerful pieces in Scripture. Powerful pieces. Manifold. So I hope if you ever hear those words, Scripture, it's only written by old men, you'll have something to say to them. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best start in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.